Yeah. I'm excited for the word. And I know we're up and down a lot, but why don't we just stand one more time? Because I'm just really intentional about honoring God's word and honoring the person bringing the word. So Pastor Ben Kent has been an incredible son of this house for many years and went to Long Reach for, what was it, 6 years he was there, and was a real blessing to that community. We missed him. Everyone's missed him, but now he's back. He's been here for a year now, back in our community, and we're really honored and blessed to receive the word of God from Pastor Ben today. So why don't you welcome him as he comes this morning.
Hey, grab a seat there. It's good to be in God's house with you. And expecting great things for the rest of this year. If you have your Bible, we're going to turn to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation 3, verse 7 and 8. We're going to look at it together. Revelation 3, verse 7 and 8. I want to talk to you from the subject today, open doors. And it's a revisit of a topic we talked about last year. Maybe you were here. But I want to talk about open doors of opportunity today. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 8 is our launch this morning. Father, we just thank you for the opportunity to be here. Gathering is the body. Lord, we ask you to infuse us with your word, your truth, your grace, your power. Father, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So Revelation 3, verse 7 and 8, may be familiar. Jesus speaking to the faithful church. I trust that is us, in Jesus' name. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. I know your works, says Jesus. See, I've set before you an open door and no one can shut it. For you have a little strength and kept my word and have not denied my name. I've set before you an open door. Open doors of opportunity. Before we talk about that today, I just want to revisit this thought about doors. The Bible's very deliberate talking about doors. We spoke about two doors. The first door is the most important door that we'll encounter in the Word of God, in the Scriptures. And Jesus refers to himself as the door. You might know that. Jesus says, I am the door. He is the door for the sheep. And so Jesus telling us that he is the door is very important. What is a door? What is the door's purpose? What is the function of a door? We don't think about what a door does, but actually what it does is it transports us from one place to another. One experience to another, one room to another. It's a place of transition. So what Jesus is saying, I'm the door, what he's saying is that he transitions us from one room to another, or one realm to another, one reality to another, from death to life. We enter Jesus and we come into a brand new life. That is Jesus, the door. We go into him. We didn't stop there. Then we talked about doors inside of us. So there's the door that we enter, which is Christ, but then it doesn't finish. We think salvation is just entering Christ, but salvation is bigger than that. It's actually a two-part deal. It's actually Christ entering us as well. In Revelation, it goes on to talk in Revelation 3, verse 20. Jesus shows that he's knocking at the door of the hearts. And often we think that Jesus is knocking at the door of the hearts of unbelievers, but he's actually knocking on the door of the hearts of the church. Isn't that profound? So we enter Christ the door, but it doesn't stop. He then knocks on the heart of our innermost being and asks if he can have access to all that we are. There's two doors. There's the door, we enter him, and then there are doors in us that we must open and allow him intimately into our lives. Let's never forget that. It doesn't just stop when we say, Jesus, save me. It continues when we say, Jesus, come in to the every room and every part of me to have full access. To the degree that we make room for Jesus will be the degree to which we manifest who he is on the earth. Just saying yes to him doesn't make you a super-duper Reinhard Bonnke preacher, signs and wonders, miracle-working person. It happens as we open our hearts to Him and allow Him to have access to every part of our lives. You might relate to this. I'm sure most of you do. All of us, or some of us, have a room in our house that is somewhat off limits. And the reason it's off limits is because when we have visitors over, we sort of don't just take them there. You go to the lounge room, you go to the kitchen, that's where we live. But you avoid that room. And the reason you avoid that room is because we don't want to traumatize our guests. And we also don't want to embarrass ourselves. Because in that room is a lot of stuff that's disordered and it's not in the right place. The trouble is, church, that we treat Jesus like a visitor, just like that. We ask Him to save us. Yes, who wouldn't want to get to heaven? But then we sort of limit things and we say, you can come in here. This is where I chill. This is my nice place. But we've got the parts of our lives we often don't realize are there. But God will show us that they're there. And our excuse is that we don't want to traumatize Jesus. How many of you know it's actually impossible to do that? He can see through walls. He can walk through walls. I dare say He can see the messy part of your life. We don't want to traumatize Him, and we don't want to embarrass ourselves. They are not excuses. And the big point to remember is that Jesus is not a visitor anyway. He's the landlord. And so He comes in and He asks permission as a gentleman to have access to all that we are. And He doesn't want to embarrass you, and He's definitely not going to be traumatized. What He wants to do is help you clean up and get it in order so you can be who He's called you to be. So there is the door, we go into Christ, and then there are doors that we must open to Him. So moving on, I want to talk about doors around us. So as we accept these things, the door and doors, we're going to look now for the doors of opportunity. So Revelation 3 verse 8, let's just revisit that. Jesus speaking yet says, see, I have set before you an open door and no one can shut it. Not only is it open, but not even the synagogue of Satan can shut that door. If you go on to read further in that passage, the synagogue of Satan, he refers to, can't even hold shut the door that God has opened. So I just want to bring some clarity today about what an open door is on earth and how often we just don't recognize them. But we'll go to 1 Corinthians 16, verse 8 and 9, just to get some insights about that. It's the Apostle Paul speaking here to the Corinthian church, and he's about to come and visit the church there. And he's explaining that he's planning to come and visit. In 1 Corinthians 16, verse 8 and 9, it says, but I will tarry in Ephesus until Pentecost. For a great and effective door, everyone say door, has opened to me. And there are many adversaries, or much opposition. Let's just take some time to appreciate what that verse is saying right there. There's so much in it. There's three very divinely planted thoughts or words in that passage that all go beautifully together, that often we don't associate together. The first is opportunity. Other versions might say it clearer, but a great and effective door is opportunity. He's talking about opportunity. And married together with that thought of opportunity is also opposition, and there are many adversaries. Opportunity, opposition, and a door accommodates both of them. There's opportunity, there's opposition, and a door is what accommodates or hosts both of those things. They actually go together. Real opportunity in the kingdom will always have real opposition from hell. There's no other way. They go together. And Paul is not surprised. And I guess as we look at this verse, we also shouldn't be surprised that these two things are always come hand in hand. Kingdom opportunities are in fact doors that God has opened for the advancement of His gospel. But let's not miss this. Those same doors of opportunity are also places, portals, areas of defense or attack that the enemy has preferred that they would remain shut. So God has opened these doors and the enemy has tried to shut those doors. It's a place of warfare. So we're talking about doors here as places of transition into what God has intended his church to walk into. Doors are not there to hang about. Doors are there to open, and doors are there to go through. And the Apostle Paul is outlining his attitude toward this reality. Opportunity and opposition, what does he do? He says to the church, I plan to come and visit, but I'm just going to hang around here for a while because I have to, and I intend to, and I'm going to persist and enter what God has called me to enter there. Opportunity and opposition. Together they go. Let's not be ignorant of Matthew 11, verse 12. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffer violence. And the church people, warm church pews, clap their hands and be nice. Does it say that? It says, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence and the violent take it by force. Is that calling the church to become barbarians and machete-wielding maniacs? Of course it's not. It's calling us to have an attitude of aggression toward the kingdom purposes that God has laid out for each of us. Amen. It will not automatically happen. God's plan for revival, for harvest, for growth, for salvations, it will not automatically happen. It happens as the church gets quickened to this reality. Where there is opportunity, there is also opposition. And the church of Jesus must be the first to recognize this and live in a lifestyle that aligns with that. I think most of us would pass the test if we had a theological questionnaire go out. Most of us would not and say Jesus wants to bring salvation in an incredible way. We would tick that. But then if we also had to tick whether we were living in alignment with that, we might not be able to tick it. Is God calling us to go forward and win the community for him? Absolutely he is, but there will always be opposition. So there's a valuable kingdom lesson right here. Open doors are not always as we imagine. They don't always have welcome mats, red carpet, a cool breeze, and flashing lights. Oftentimes they look as though they're shut, but in reality, they are open. Big opportunity is accompanied by big trouble. Because of the battle, open doors won't be perceived as open, but we must be spirit-filled both to see them and have courage to enter. I want us to listen very closely to this. It might sound like a very simple thing to say, but an open door is not always open. An open door is not always open. I have an illustration that might help. So maybe you go to a friend's house, he's a good friend, and you go over to visit. They know you're coming. You knock on the door, and you can hear from a back room somewhere, they yell out, come on in, it's open. We don't get stuck for a moment there and sort of in a daft sort of way yell back, hang on, actually, it's not. I'm sure we don't do that. Our friend said it's open, so what do? We get our hand, we take it out of our pocket, we grab the knob, we turn it, we either pull or we push it, and at our friend's command, we believe and therefore we enter. But quite obviously to the physical eye, you could also argue that that door is shut and your friend is a liar. Is your friend a liar? They're not a liar because they're your friend. And they wouldn't joke around with you about that. They said it's open, so you act as if it is. You grab the knob, you turn it, and you go forward and you go in. Church, Jesus has told us the door is open. And what unbelief does, it cripples us to the point we observe things physically, naturally, and we judge them accordingly. We see a door, and it's obviously shut. There's no cool breeze, there's no flashing lights. There's no red carpet. I can't see through it. We perceive it as shut. I can hear the voice of the Lord saying, it's open. And if ever there was a friend who would never lie to you, his name is Jesus. And he's calling the church through doors of opportunity that often we've seen as shut because we're either afraid or we're not seeing them correctly. We must simply believe and act accordingly. I've come to realize there's three states of a door. Often we just think there's two. There's the obvious open, and then there's shut. There's actually three. There's open, yes, you can see through it. There's a cool breeze. That's so obvious. But then there's also shut or closed, but it's actually open according to our illustration. It's a closed door, but it is, you're free to go through it. And then there's a locked door. Open, closed, locked. And I believe, church, there's a lot more doors that are open that are just closed, and as God's calling us to open by faith through determined action. It's so important that we would perceive that. Open doors, closed doors, and locked doors. I'm convinced of this. Often we see them as locked when actually they are just waiting to be opened. Luke 11 verse 9 and 10 comes to mind. Jesus said, "So I say to you, ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you." I think there's three levels of faith there that we must activate. The first one, I love lap prayers. You just pray and you open your eyes and there it is. Ask and you'll receive. Sometimes it happens like that. The next is another level of faith, which is to seek and you'll find. Sometimes you have to actually look around, go around the corner, shift something, seek and you'll find. The third level of faith is sometimes you have to come up against something that you perceive as shut, you knock, and it will be open to you. Let's not be the church that doesn't recognize open doors, seeing them as locked when maybe they are just temporarily closed. Philippians 3 verse 14 says we must press toward the goal, not passively sit and wait. The King and his kingdom is something that we press into. It's something that we lean into. And he is someone that we pursue passionately and diligently. Acts 14, verse 22. The book of Acts is a great example of this type of behavior, which is to persist and push and endure. In the second part of Acts 14, verse 22, it says, we must, it's a very key word there, we must, through how many? Many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. It's talking about entering the kingdom. Pastor Ben, aren't I already in the kingdom? Yes, you are. You're in Christ and he is in you. But this is specifically talking about the realization of God's kingdom on earth. To enter that kingdom right here, there are a lot of devils and resistance around it. And it says here, we must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God here on earth. Acts chapter 27 is a great example of Paul, who knew very well how to deal with doors of opportunity and opposition. He knew he had an open door to Rome. So what happened? Was there a red carpet and a straight and easy road straight to Rome? Absolutely not. On his way to Rome as a captive, he was taken on board a ship. He had a dream from an angel not to go on the ship, that they shouldn't sail. He told the captain the dream. They ignored him. There was a terrible storm. They almost died. They got shipwrecked on the island of Malta. He hopped off, got off the boat, and the whole crew were saved. They went to start a fire. A snake bit him on the hand. I wonder at this point if Paul is thinking, maybe the door has shut. Maybe I didn't hear from God after all. But what does Paul do? He shakes the snake off into the fire, and then he goes and heals one of the leaders of the island, heals one of the family members. Paul is not fazed whatsoever by opposition and never lets it talk him out of the reality that God has created an open door for him to Rome. He is not bluffed by all the blockades at all. He goes forward He goes forward. He goes forward. Nothing dismays, deters, or detracts him or distracts him from this reality. God has opened a door for me to roam, and hell can't stop it. God has opened a door for each of you to personally succeed in life, to raise a great family, to be an influence in your family and in your workplace and in the community, and no bullying at work or no opposition to the left or the right can stop it. God has opened that door, and we must take him at his word and go through it consistently and continually. The kingdom of God is something we must walk into with a godly aggression. So being saved is going through Christ, the door. I hope you're catching this. We go into him. Second part of salvation is his sanctification, him coming into you in every area of your life. How many of you know if you do those two things, you are set up for great things? Then you are ready to start operating in this area of accessing and entering the kingdom of God around you with authority. God has called us to get healed by us in him and him in us, and then to go aggressively into the opportunities that are around about us, because they're fortified, they are heavily defended. Hell is defeated. Satan is a defeated foe, but he's not going down without all the deception tricks and intimidation tricks that he has. The battle is somewhat still in play, although it's done. We know that theologically and in a reality it is done. But in this moment, God has still given us the privilege to operate as ambassadors, to take down those things as an active display of our faith and trust in him. This is our opportunity to be effective for him, for the kingdom of God. So maybe you're recognizing right now some of the doors that are before you. I hope you are. I trust that you would be. Doors that you recognize are opportunities, but opposition is also teeming around those doors, talking down to you and saying that maybe those doors aren't for you after all. We just need to get a word from God and start asking the question from him. I'm not saying that we should hop in our Christian bulldozer and just push down every door. It's not the attitude we should have. But if we've heard the Lord on the other side, come on in, it's open, we shouldn't listen to any other thing. And we should just accept that it actually is. And I wondered if I should talk about this today and a little bit just in our closing moments together. I think one of the doors that has much opposition around it is the door toward healing. Healing and wholeness, both physically and spiritually. I believe in healing that can happen just through going into Christ and him coming into us, and a lot of healing happens right there as we yield to him. Forgiveness issues, worry issues, all those things happen in those first two doors. But I've become more and more convinced that some healing is actually because of the warfare that we're in. Some of the sickness and things that trouble us are actually things that come on us from the battle that we're in as well. So yes, a lot of sickness happens just from us being transformed and healed by who Christ is and him revealing who he is to us. But some sickness is sort of outside of us and is put on us as a deliberate attack against us. And I'm more and more certain that this is true. I don't know what the percentage would be, but there is an element of things that we suffer, both in the realm of the soul and in the realm of the body, that are sort of outside of us, resisting against us. And some healing is not realized until we actually recognize it as such and aggressively go through those doors of resistance. I don't want to make it too spooky, but yes, some sickness is downright demonic. And it's against you. And it's from the outside. So when you've done all you can, you've come into Christ and he's come into you. Sometimes I think we need to have that edge where we recognize these some things are from outside. and they are trying to limit and restrict us. I don't know as much whether I have confidence to say that or not, but I think the Lord wanted us to hear that, that we must recognize the warfare of some of these things. We're all believing for some element of healing that maybe just hasn't happened, or you're not sure why it hasn't happened. And I believe that God would just want to show us afresh that it's actually not you. And you just need to persist and hear his voice come through. Because healing is a door. Healing is a door that we at times have to walk through. Would you stand with me, church? I just want to pray together. In the book of Matthew, chapter 16, verse 18. You may be familiar with this one. Jesus speaking to Peter, talking about the keys of the kingdom. And then he says, the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. Often our brain jumps ahead before the revelation enables us to have the right picture. The gates will not prevail. We get this idea, oh, the gates are after us. Well, no, the gates are stationary. The gates are a form of defense from the enemy. The gates of hell are trying to keep us out of the kingdom purposes that are on the other side. The gates of hell are around some things that God intends for you to have. The gates of hell are blocking you from that full, rich life in regard to relationships and toward other family members, or the dream that God has put in your heart into the future, to the left or to the right. Let's recognize that the gates of hell are for us to prevail against and bust through. We're not afraid of gates, I hope we're not. Gates are a type of door. We enter the enemy's camp and we possess what God intends us to have. Let's recognize these places of transition before each of us. God is calling you. God is calling us. God is calling me. God is calling those who are yet to be called to be kingdom men and women. Not one day when it's all over, but now. Entering kingdom promises and purposes now. Lord, I pray you reveal to your people some of the gates of hell that are holding them back from what you've intended them to have. We believe your word, Lord. The gates of hell will not prevail against your holy church. The gates of hell will not hold us back from the healing that we are called to have. Right now, in the spirit, in your soul, in however God leads you, walk through those gates of resistance. They might be lies. They might be deceiving thoughts about you not receiving what God intends you to receive. The scriptures are very clear. Jesus heals, Jesus heals, Jesus heals. I think really bad doctrines have come into place because teachers of people within the body of Christ have come up against things that they perceive are shut, when in reality they are open, and they just needed to come up by faith and go through it. All those lying spirits say, no, 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 this is shut. Someone's believed it, they've made a doctrine out of it. How many of you know that the door to healing and victory is always open? It's always open. So how do you want to do that today? Jesus, your door is open for me. It might be healing in your body. It might be healing in your thought life. Some of those things aren't from you. Accusations of just being no good, never be any good. Depression. Some of those things are from outside church. Our fiery darts sent to restrict and limit you. They're coming from outside to hold you back and hold you in. Push through those things today. God gives you the authority. Lord, we just thank you right now that you've given us the keys and the door is open. Lord, help you people to walk through into freedom. We take authority over sickness, depression, and every heavy thing that's restricting your people. And Lord, we walk through that door into the victory. We take authority that is ours, and we command doors be open as you are. Swing wide. Father, I speak liberty and grace upon your heart. Maybe you're in this place today, just as eyes are closed and heads are bowed. You need to get right with Jesus right there. He is the door. Maybe you've never entered the door. Today's your day. You recognize Jesus is the door. Ask him, can I come in? Guess what? He says, yes, my son, yes, my daughter. If that's you today, you can walk through that door. You just have to say, Jesus, I give you my life. Jesus, I give you my life. And enter him. If that's you today, would you walk through that door? Would you walk through that door? Would you walk through that door? Jesus, I give you my life. Say that right now. Jesus, I give you my life. I'm coming in. Come into the ark. That's how you're saved from judgment. You come into the ark. There is a day of judgment. You must be in the ark. You have to be in Christ. Head in today. Or maybe you're here. You're in Christ. You know it. But is he in you? Has he had access to every part of your life? Ask him. Come in. Come into that room, Lord. Come into that room. Come into that room. Just open. Lord, give us the boldness to enter the doors of opportunity. If you've prayed a prayer today on salvation for the first time, would you just raise your hand? I just want to pray life and grace and strength. If you said, yes, I enter Christ, I just want to pray for you right now. Lord, we thank you for strength. I thank you, Lord, for a sense of peace for those who have entered you today. And Lord, give us courage to open all the doors of our hearts and give us courage to pursue all the doors of opportunity for us. Give the praise and the glory for the Lord Jesus. Amen. And thanks, Pastor. Back to you.
So good. Can we just thank Pastor Ben for an awesome word? Can I tell you this? If you're walking through that door for the very first time, or maybe you've recommitted your life to Christ, or maybe that's something you want to do, come and see us after the service. So Pastor Ben will be floating around, Anita and I are floating around. We'd love to give you a Bible if you don't have one. Let us know. We can help you with that. A few other things before we close the service. If we could put the camera back up, that would be good. Those of you that are going on the three-week prayer and fasting journey with us, your second week of the focus for your prayer is available. It's on the table out here for you, so that's ready for you to collect if you want to grab that. If you started with us last Sunday and you're ready for week two, just grab that on the table as you have morning tea, so that's available. I also promised I would put this up again because on Tuesday night our leaders met and we've established ways of connection. And so if you've connected with us this way, you're going to be hearing from one of our leaders and they just want to connect with you and let you know that you're awesome and they love you. And they want to connect with you in some meaningful way. So just be ready for that. So another reason, if you haven't done that yet, we'd love you to scan that and connect with us so that we can just let you know that you're valued and let you know that you have a place in God's house. And we're like a body. You often hear the term body of Christ. Can you imagine a body without the big toe? Who's ever had big toe issues and you can't walk as you normally would? Or maybe an arm. When your arm's broken and it's in a sling, can your body function at its full capacity? No, it can't. What about, I could keep going. What about our ears if we couldn't hear? That's a whole other world, isn't it? Or maybe our eyes and we can't see. But when the whole body is together and you've got a part to play and you play that part, nothing can stop the house of God, amen? When it's functioning at its full capacity. So we want everybody connected in the life of our church so that we can go on this journey together. Hey, we'll see you Wednesday night at Discipleship Nights. If you didn't come last week, it's still time to join us. Come this Wednesday from 6. We'd love to have you. For now, we're going to have fellowship, so let's have tea and coffee and morning tea and say hello to someone that's visiting or that you don't know, and love on each other, and God bless. Have an amazing week. Thanks, church.